4. First Chronicles and the chapter 4, and we're going to read two verses, the verses 9 and 10. First Chronicles, the chapter 4, and the verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Amen. If I was to give a title for these messages, I would call them a good prayer for a new year. A good prayer for a new year. The very situation of our text is worthy of note, standing as it does in the very midst of these genealogies. Suddenly, abruptly, in the midst of this seemingly dry genealogical detail, we are introduced in relative fullness to Jabez. In a sense, when we come to our text, we might well feel like the children of Israel, who after walking through the wilderness without water for 3 days, they came to Elim. Elim with its palm trees that afforded them shade, and its 12 wells that assuaged their thirst. In these opening 3 chapters of First Chronicles, as we read them, we find ourselves traveling, as it were, through a wilderness of names. Very little to delight the eye or refresh the heart. All interesting and perhaps we would think unprofitable to us, though of course not so. And especially not so as far as the children of Israel were concerned. You see, the lineage of the high priest and the descent of the Messiah, our Savior, depended upon the genealogies. But how suddenly in our text we come to a green, refreshing oasis, a spring, as it were, in the dry land to refresh and revive our thirsty souls, this unexpected biography of Jabez. It reminds us, of course, of that first biblical chapter of genealogy. The one with that awful, sad refrain in Genesis chapter 5, where we read again and again of one who was born, lived those many years, died. There, of course, also in Genesis 5, we read of one who had a glory and distinction of character that caused him to stand out prominently from the rest. And of course his name was Enoch. And he didn't walk with God, and he was not, for God took him. Here before us is one of those blessed brief biographies of which the scriptures of truth are full. We have, in a sense, we might say, a life history in a sentence. And surely we have to say it is, as we look at it carefully and study it closely, it is a concise and yet a comprehensive memoir. From the distress of his birth, to the distinction of his character, and then, of course, chiefly, the devotion of his life. Truly here before us, we have a life history in a sentence. Now, we know nothing whatsoever about Jabez beyond what we find in these two verses. Now, of course, Jewish tradition will tell us that he was a man distinguished for great wisdom as a teacher. That he founded a school and gathered around him a multitude of disciples. And as a consequence, a city was established bearing his name. And of course, in this very book, we read of such a city in the chapter 2 and in the verse 55. We read that the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez. That's interesting. But be that as it may, what we do have before us is an inspired biography of Jabez. And we certainly can say about it, he became a teacher of the righteous, of God's saints in every generation. So we want to come to these verses 9 and 10 over the next few weeks. First of all, we want to consider the sad origin of his name. The sad origin of his name. You'll notice there in the first 9 that his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." Jabez is brought before us in connection with his mother as having been cradled, as it were, in great affliction and distress. The closing petition of his prayer in verse 10, "That thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me," certainly does it not indicate that he didn't know what grief and trouble of soul were. Now, we don't know the particular reason which influenced his mother to give him a name that meant sorrow. Perhaps he brought forth this son with more than common anguish and pain. And thus, like Rachel, she would perpetuate that special sorrow in her son's name. I personally believe there's a great deal more to it than that. Keep your finger there and turn up John 16. I do believe this was a sorrow that ran deeper. And I say that because of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John in the chapter 16 and the verse 21. John 16 and the verse 21. "A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." The mother of Jabez had, I believe, a deeper, a more enduring sorrow to register in the name of her son than those pains of travail in giving birth to him. I suggest to you, and please do underline, it is only the suggestion of a preacher. But I suggest to you that the time of the birth of this son may very well have been the time of her widowhood. That she had lost him who was the staff of life to her. Whatever the reason, she evidently felt little of another's joy, having only tears to give her son as a welcome into the world, feeling it impossible as she looked on her infant to associate with him even a hope of happiness. Undoubtedly she had looked with different sentiments on her other children. She had clasped them to her breast with all of another's gladness, but with Jabez it was all gloom. It was as if this boy brought nothing but an added burden of care. And his name implied how little hope, if any, she felt of future happiness with him or through him. And she called it Jabez, which means sorrowful. What a contrast this is, for example, to the hopeful name which the mother of our race gave to her firstborn. How much comfort and hope was expressed by Eve in that name, Cain. Yet how sorely and severely Cain would break and wring her heart when he rose up in murderous hate and slew his brother Abel. Someone has well said, how frequently does that which we have baptized with our tears make the countenance sunny with smiles? How frequently again does that which we have welcomed with smiles wring from us our tears? Our judgments are biased, often warped by circumstances. We often fail to make a true and a just estimate of things. That brings us to notice, secondly, the short epithet on his memory. Notice again that verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. There, in a sense we might say, the history of this family is gathered up into that brief statement. Now of course you notice that the implication is that his brethren too were honorable. But Jabez was more so. He surpassed them all in his character and in his conduct. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. How strange now that name of Jabez as it fell upon his mother's ear. She might well have thought to herself, I am suitable a name for this my son. Well, imagine that she would reproach herself for giving way to such dreary forebodings and fears at the time of his birth. You see, the dark and dismal morning of Jabez's birth had now given place to a bright and glorious day of Jabez's blessing to her. He was more honorable than his brethren, and from the soil of adversity, the rare orchid of true greatness had grown. When you consider it, surely we might say this morning, that name, Jabez, stands like a monument to her short-sightedness. And can we not add to her lack of trust and confidence in her God? Yet we must be careful not to be too quick to censor her, for how readily do we give the name Jabez to things that afflict and affect us. We too, surely, are so often guilty of judging by present appearances and allowing our fears and our feelings rather than our faith to dictate our judgments. Our estimation so often of the character of those things that have come upon us is indeed so wrong. That's why I chose to sing the hymn. Lines undoubtedly familiar to us, and we've sung them often. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense. How often do we not do that? We judge the Lord by feeble sense. We give way to our feelings and allow our feelings to affect us and depress us. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. But alas, we often judge the Lord by feeble sense. Know the spirit of Jacob is in us all. Do you remember how the sons of Jacob returned, leaving their brother in Egypt? And old Jacob, when he heard what they had to say to him, that they dare not go back to Egypt without bringing his beloved Benjamin with them. Do you remember what he said? All these things are against me. And yet, as we all know this morning, that by and through all those things, although, yes, we can call them dark and perplexing providences, yet we know that all those things and all of those dealings, a merciful God was providing for the sustenance of the patriarch and of his whole household, and the deliverance from famine of untold multitudes. I say again to you, it's true of us all, isn't it? We call so readily sickness Jabez. And though it may be sent by the merciful and kind hand of the Lord to bring us to a greater state of spiritual health, we call poverty, having to struggle to make ends meet, we call it Jabez. Even though it has been sent in the mercy of God, that we might exercise faith and learn, as we were singing earlier, to trust it more. And in the mercy of God, it may have been sent indeed to wean us from this world, that we do not set our heart on the things of time and sense, but rather seek to have treasures in heaven above. Bereavements, we call them Jabez so readily. though they may be well designed in the gracious purposes of heaven to graft us more closely into the household of God, to make heaven more precious to us, to anticipate that joyful reunion when our Lord Jesus comes again, all of the redeemed shall meet him in the air around the feet of the Redeemer. Surely as Christians we need to learn from this. The gloomy fears of Jabez's mother were not realized. The Holy Ghost is saying to us here, it was to her worthiest son that she gave such a name. Is there not a message for us parents who have wayward children? We too readily perhaps will give them the name Jabez. Perhaps even worse. And it's applied in terms that can be easily grasped. The wise, unruly boy, yet may become the joy of our heart and the staff of our old age. Let Jabez truly become a prince in the Israel of God. Oh, let us therefore rededicate ourselves this year to continue to pray with more earnestness, with more fervency of heart, that those of our sons and daughters and grandchildren that need to be saved will be saved. And we will rejoice as this dear mother did in her Jabez, who was more honorable than his brethren. That brings me in closing this morning to the supreme secret of his greatness. How was he more honorable? Certainly it was not by birth, being of the same parents as his brethren, nor by filling any eminent position or high offices, not a hint of that in the text of Scripture, nor by the exercising of extraordinary gifts or talents again, not a hint of it. No, first one plainly uncovers the secret of his greatness. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. It was his piety. It was his spirituality. And Spurgeon said his devotion was the key to his promotion. His devotion was the key to his promotion. And 1 Kings surely makes it clear, Jabez was known for this and by this. These are the things that characterized his life. These were the spiritual habits of his life. And as we shall see next week, particularly in verse 10, we see his mastery in the holy exercise of prayer in the seeking of the face of God. But in closing, please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22, where we took our reading. And I want, in closing, to read this verse. Proverbs chapter 22, and I'm reading the verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. by humility. That is the third time that you have this thought in Proverbs. You'll find it in the concluding words of chapter 18 and the verse 12, and in the chapter 15, and in the verse 33. And you see, what I'm simply saying in closing is this, that verse 10, back there in 1 Chronicles 4, breathes out such a spirit of humility. It brings before one who so evidently and so deeply felt totally dependent upon God for everything. So he humbles himself before God and he seeks the face of God because he is conscious that all he needs is found alone in God. All his resources are found alone in the Lord. And he was more honorable than his brethren. For by humility, the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. You know, in 1874, David Livingstone was buried in Westminster Abbey. Tens of thousands lined the streets of London to honor the great pioneer missionary. Among the crowds was an old man. He may well say old before his years. If you had had a seat of you, would have said in our present terminology, well, he's a down and out, he's living rough. He must be sleeping on the streets. Those around him observed how he was weeping so profusely and bitterly. He was so overcome by his emotions. Someone intrigued, why was it so? Asked him why he wept so sorely. I'll tell you why, he replied. Davy and I were born in the same village, grew up in the same day school and Sunday school, and worked together at the same loom. But Davy went his way, and I went mine. Now he is honored by the nation, and I am neglected, unknown and dishonored. I have nothing to look forward to for the drunkard's grave. What made the difference? Christ made the difference. David Livingstone came to Christ. He yielded his life to Christ. He dedicated all of his time and energies for the cause of Christ. For thy humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. For what will you be remembered? You young people in the service today, growing up with your gifts and your talents, and time as God and mercy gives it to you, when you grieve your last, when they carry your mortal remains to your final resting place, what will you be remembered for? We know little of Jabez, but we know that he was more honorable than his brethren, and the Holy Ghost says the reason for that is this: the devotion, the spirituality of this man. He trusted in the Lord. He sought the face of the Lord. He walked with his God. He sought to serve his God. And we remember him these thousands of years on this morning. Jabez. or as McShane said, live so as to the best. One of the saddest things that I could ever recall in my ministry is when family members do not feel they can shed a tear when someone in their family has died. You say, how could that be? Because of the wickedness of the life they lived. Because they were such a constant burden, because they broke a mother's heart and brought her to an early grave. Because of the way their children were mistreated, virtually left destitute. Those are some of the reasons. That's a sad thing, isn't it? That's the fruit of sin. The bitter fruit of sin. I trust that you will live so as the best. And when people speak of you, they'll not speak about what talents or gifts you may have had. Those may get a mention, of course. But it will be your devotion to Christ, the spirituality of your piety, your walk with God, how you prayed, how you worshipped, how you served the Lord. Oh, may God bless His word to our hearts this morning, as far as me and Sheik. Amen.